From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Patrick Hoskin, in for Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made on the fifth floor of this building here in High Falls, where the City Magazine staff, myself included, work tirelessly to make each month's issue. For December, it's the 2024 Winter Guide. A little paper in the mic. I feel like that was terrible. We do every month. We highlight the best in arts, music, and culture throughout the Rochester region. The Winter Guide is your go-to template for having a nice winter. I have family elsewhere in the U.S., like in the South, and they think we all stay inside for 8 months out of the year. Perhaps some of us do, but this guide is full of invitations to get out there. There's plenty of things to do. There's a beautiful photo essay following a family-owned Christmas tree farm. There's a visit to a speed dating event at a local bookshop. There's a tale about a crew of line dancing superstars united by sisterhood. And for utility purposes, there's a roundup of the best places around town to keep your kids active and out of the snow. And the December issue of City truly does have it all, with, as always, music reviews, the daily to-do calendar of events, cultural goings-on around town, food and bev updates, and more. And I will introduce our guests in a moment, but let me set the mood for the Winter Guide issue, right? If I may borrow a bit from Bill Murray's meteorologist in Groundhog Day, Phil Connors. When Chekhov saw the long winter, he saw a winter bleak and dark and bereft of hope. Yet we know that winter is just another step in the cycle of life. But standing here among the people of Rochester and basking in the warmth of their hearth and hearts, I couldn't imagine better fate than a long and lustrous winter. It's a little Groundhog Day, Scott. I'm looking at you.
Oh, I love that. That's great.
Okay, thank you. So let me introduce my actual guests here and my colleagues at City. We are joined by Jake Walsh, art director for City Magazine. Hey, Jake.
Hey, Patrick.
Roberta Lagares, multimedia reporter for City. Hey, Berta, welcome back.
Yo.
And Scott, who I just mentioned, Scott Pukos, the director of communications for the Little Theater, also a contributor to City Magazine, as well as occasional host of this program. So,
yep, thanks for having me.
Now, as the little sort of representative here, I know you're not here technically in that capacity, but that was okay.
Oh, yes,
dramatic,
yes,
reading from the film.
That was perfect. Loved it.
All right, thanks. I need that little boost as we do it. So we'll also be joined a little later by another City contributor. But I also do have to ask, like, we're talking about winter. We're talking about the City Guide, the Winter Guide that we made. What is your, just to set the mood really quick, what's like the mood that you go into in winter? Like, in hibernation mode, let's do something to combat the, you know, the gray dreariness, like how do we all, because for me, it's both. Like, I definitely need my days where I chill and then days where I get outside. So is that kind of how you all feel as
yeah,
well?
Yeah, that's where I'm at. I'm pretty hybrid. I need like a night in, fires going, taking all the cozy vibes. And then like maybe today, you know, you got the sun shining, even though it's cold, I need to go out, you know, have a life a little bit. And then probably by Sunday, I'm back.
Yeah.
Back inside.
Back on the couch.
Yeah.
That feels like a nice way to kind of do all this, right? Like to be a nice little a balance of both.
I think so.
You think that, Jake?
I'm a bit of a winter freak. I try to like white knuckle my way through each intense part of each season, if that makes sense. It's like a high intensity zone that I enter in the winter. I like to ride my bike to work every day, like my bicycle. And I like to sort of, I have a hybrid thing as well where I need to like, I kind of need to like shake myself into like feeling good in the winter. It's just something I know about myself. So it's like, all right, bud, we're getting up early before the sun. I'm going to ride the bike, feel the sunshine, feel the cold, and then like try not to slip on the ice. I almost went down this morning. I almost didn't make it to Connections today.
But you did. So when you say almost, so you didn't actually slip, which is pretty impressive.
No slips. I there was, well, I don't know. I guess it has to do with winter, but I was on the trail next to the river, and it was a cartoon moment where I was going, like audibly, and then there was just a guy there, and we kind of locked eyes, and I didn't fall, so it's all good. But the winter hibernation is maybe a safer option for me that I might explore as my bones grow more brittle and I'm less willing to be injured outdoors in the winter.
Yeah, that feels right. What about you, Scott?
First, congratulations on not falling.
Thank you.
I feel that it's a big accomplishment.
We're not talking enough about this. I didn't fall today.
You made it.
Yeah, I like a cozy vibe. So I used to live, when I first moved to Rochester, along the Oxford Mall. Oh. So my ideal winter would always be, and I never got to do this, maybe we can organize it, but I wanted a giant snowball fight on Oxford Mall, like snow tunnel, snowball fight. And then afterward, just like hot chocolate, like you could be funneling hot chocolate, just chugging it. And that's kind of the vibe, like mostly coziness, but also some fun, some stuff that you can only do in Rochester.
That sounds like a nice thing that maybe you can organize. And whether, I mean, winter depends, like snow, it's a little early snow for what it was last year. It depends on how long it sticks around. Maybe this winter, maybe next winter. But that sounds like something you might be able to organize.
Well, I'm an idea guy. So I come up with ideas. Someone else can do the hard work.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. Yeah, welcome to magazines, I guess. I don't know. You got to have your ideas, people, and your people who make the magazines. Jake, you did great work making this magazine in your role as art director, making this magazine look the way it does.
Thank you, Patrick.
So let me shout that out.
I tried my best, you know, and I do that every month.
And I will say, consistently great. I will say the photo on the front. So if you haven't seen the City Winter Guide yet, right, there's a big photo on the front of an undecorated Christmas tree. What are we looking at here, Birdo?
So this is actually inside of Stokey Farms, who is the subject of my photo essay, Family Tree. This is inside their pre-cut barn for anyone who wants the real tree experience without, you know, getting your hands dirty.
Stabbed. Have you ever cut down a tree before?
Many times.
Painful, huh?
Many times.
Ooh,
yes.
Potential for injury.
It can get
high.
It can get crazy. This year, the tree fell on me, so that was cool.
What?
Yeah, it's in the Family Tree, shameless plug, Family Tree video.
Yes, Roberto's photo essay in the magazine is called Family Tree. It's about his visit to a Christmas tree farm, as he's discussing, but there's also a subsequent video, which you can check out on Rock City Mag on Instagram.
We went a step further, and we went actually to Stokey Farms after we did the photo essay piece, and we got our Christmas tree, which is up in my house right now, and we, you know, documented the whole experience to kind of intro you to what to expect in the winter guide. But yeah, that's exactly what this photo is. It's it is the pre-cut tree barn, and it just looks, I don't know, I feel like it captures the vibe, right? The vibe of the real Christmas tree experience.
What kind of fir are we looking at here? Do we know?
You know, I'm going to go ahead and say that's a Douglas fir.
I thought so, but yeah. I wanted to.
That's the one that I know, too.
Yeah, that's the one I got. Couldn't tell you. Maybe Fraser fir.
Oh, it could be.
Could be a Fraser fir.
Yeah, that could be. So you mentioned you took two trips, right? The first trip was basically with this family that owns and runs, operates Stokey Farms.
Yes.
And kind of learned about what they do, how long they've been doing it. It's out in Scottsville. And then the second time was when you went kind of on your own journey. But the first time, so what are some of the interesting things you learned? Because like, I think people think of, okay, we're going to go get it. Well, there's a lot of different ways to get a Christmas tree, right? The first way, you can be as removed from the farm aspect as you kind of want or maybe need to be for convenience. But in your, you know, travels and in going there, what did you learn about what it takes and how that process goes of growing these trees?
Honestly, the fact that it's a years long affair. So like, it's pretty interesting to hear like their roots, where they come from. And I write about that, but what I was shocked with was how much work goes into essentially just maintaining this production level. Like they average about 8,000 trees a year that they go through, both because they are also in wholesale, which is another aspect I didn't really think about because people are getting real trees in places that they don't grow.
Right.
So I'm like, oh, it's got to come from somewhere,
yep.
Right? So like seeing that was really cool. Just seeing how like tight-knit, family-oriented it is. Everyone there has some sort of tie to the Stokey family, whether they're like directly related, they worked there as like a teenager, now they're like, they've moved into a different position, you know, family growing. It's just amazing to see just how interconnected they are. And it's been going on for decades, really, so. Yeah,
there's something so, I don't know, like, I want to say wholesome, and I don't mean that in any way except, like, complimentary about this. Like, to go to a family-owned place, to be able to capture, you know, you're essentially kind of being, you're both being a fly on the wall, but you're also really kind of in there. You're trying to do both, right? And you capture. And what I love about this photo spread, you know, there's a couple black and white photos. There's some, you know, really kind of, there's like this great bird's eye view on it. Did you mention this one as your, maybe it was your favorite from the shoot, this bird's eye view?
Yeah. Fun fact about that. So these ladies are amazing. First off, immediately just like warm, welcoming as I stepped into the pole barn that they were manufacturing these wreaths. But They had mentioned, hey, you know, you could you can go up there on there. And they're like, it's a little sketchy.
Like a loft or like a balcony?
Yeah, it's like an open air loft
in
area.
A big barn. Yeah,
big barn. Definitely creaky. You know, a little bit sketchy getting up there. I wasn't sure it was going to hold my weight, but you know, we went for it, and it was a great shot.
It's all for the shot.
Yeah, and then after I came down, a lot of them are like, "Yeah, we would never go up there." And I was like, "Okay, cool.
Wow.
thanks for that." We you know, mixed it up, black and white in color. Fun fact for the Kodak fans in the room: all the black and white photos are actually shot on Kodak Tri-X film because this is their 70th anniversary of the film being released in many. Photojournalist has a very deep photojournalist history, so I just wanted to kind of shout that out in there for any of the film nerds such as myself.
Very cool.
Yeah,
love that. Now I want to turn to so once again, it's called Family Tree, the photo essay. You can check it out in City, and then there's sort of a tease on Instagram, but we're also City's on many platforms. You want to talk a little bit about where people can also see?
Oh yeah, so of course we're on Instagram, Facebook, and now TikTok. We've got a few videos up on TikTok right now. Big one being the Joy Mart snack haul. I won't say too much about it. Just it's worth the watch. From what I'm hearing, and I'm obviously biased. I'm in it and also edited it. But from the reaction to it has been overwhelmingly positive, and I think it's worth a watch.
And that's a great place to stay tuned for more City videos. That are going to, of course, complement everything that we do
yes,
in the print magazine.
We've got plenty down the pipeline. So, yeah.
I need to heap some praise on Berto as well because you've been, how long have you been on our team? A couple of months.
Yeah, since October 1st.
The amount of just visual material that Berto has like pumped out over his short tenure here is like kind of gobsmacking to me, if I can use like a goofy word that I feel needs more shine.
It's a good word.
Especially like as the person who often will end up like laying out big chunks of the magazine between myself and Ryan Williamson. These photo essays are like a joy for us to work with as well, and especially to not have to take the photography and have that visual lexicon like baked into myself, which I don't, but you clearly do. It rocks, and I love being able to see like six pages of photographs that tell a story, and then also you're making videos. It's just crazy. So I feel like if you haven't checked in with City in a little while, it might be your time to kind of see what's cooking. Because I've been here for 7 years. If you've fallen off, like don't worry about it, but like come back in. There's some new really beautiful stuff going on, and I don't think I've seen this many like different types of pictures of Christmas trees ever in my life. So it's very cool.
It's true.
And I just
wanted to
kind of highlight that. It's great.
Thank you so much.
Of course.
And so I appreciate you saying that, Jake. Let me ask you, so having now been here for as long as you have and sort of being in the art director chair, when we talk about Winter Guide, when we talk about, you know, sort of to take the, I don't know, like the sort of the theme, right, which can be, it's just a word, or it's a concept. How do you then translate that, and especially for this, for Winter Guide, how do you kind of take that in, translate it? How does that work? You think of snowflakes, you think of all these things, but like, how do you do that in this issue?
Oh, in this issue. Yeah. Well, a lot of this issue, and I think maybe a big reason I was like, we need to heap some respect on Berto's name is because Berto's imagery really carries this issue. Like it's on the cover. It takes up a big chunk of the middle of the book, or I guess the front of the book. But really there's only so many different ways you can like express it's cold or it's winter,
right.
Like, you know,
right.
And there, you know, I think through the life cycle and the different iterations of City during my time here, there have definitely been like different tones of what we are trying to deliver to people. And I think this is one of the better rounded visual representations of like what the Winter Guide is. There's a lot of utility in it and there's a lot of beauty in it. There's also like a good amount of whimsy. And I think that's kind of like the trifecta that you want to have, because winter is like very beautiful, very whimsical, and can be very challenging. And like having some sort of utility to be like, here is a way to get through the winter in the same book as like, here's something beautiful to celebrate about living in this city that has such punishing winters.
Very true.
It's nice. And I this is one of my favorites in recent memories. I do remember way back when we were a weekly newspaper, I would find stock photos of just hands reaching out of snowbanks, and it would be like city newspaper back in, because that's what it was, city newspaper, dig yourself out from under the snow. And there was like a cynical comedic attitude to it, and it didn't have to have like a month-long shelf life, so if it was like maybe not the right tone, it would just be gone the next week. But this is something that can stand the test of at least a month's worth of time.
That's true. And I would argue, and I'll say it right here, probably longer.
Yeah.
And that's a testament to our work, so shout out to us.
Yeah, all right, good.
Love
for
that.
You know, I will say, so you mentioned whimsy. I think that's great, and I think that's an essential piece of keeping, you know, spirits high, all that stuff in the winter. I think, Scott, you know, you're in this magazine as a contributor. You sort of did like a first-person experiential recap of going to an event that I would characterize as whimsical. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah. Oh, thanks for using the transition of whimsicals. I was going for that because I think what is very whimsical here in Rochester are the bookstores. There are so many bookstores, I can't even shop them all out. But Book Eater, which is in the South Wedge, or maybe the Swillburg neighborhood, it's kind of in the intersection of both of those. It's right next to Swillburger, is one of my favorites. They've been doing, for a couple months now, singles meetup events. I've gone to three of them. So I kind of, in the article, I kind of do a composite of my experiences from the three of them. And each one, the staff was kind of trying to figure out exactly how they wanted to do these events. But the main thrust was just a way for people to meet up and talk. They're always very inclusive at that store. So just a way people can meet up and not without the dating apps. And I looked up some stats for this article. And dating apps do work. That is how a lot of people meet. But also there's a lot of not great experiences. And I think one of my favorite anecdotes that kind of exemplifies that from the article, so I'll do a little spoiler, but
do it.
I went to one of the singles nights, and one of the baristas there, she had met someone who she connected on one of the dating apps. This was the first singles meetup event. And they had just stopped talking on the app. And I think anyone who's used that knows how that goes. You just, for whatever reason, the conversation fizzles out. You just stop talking. She used the term ghosting, although I don't think it was quite ghosting. But then this person came to the singles event and they reconnected and started talking. And now they're in a relationship together. So I think it kind of shows you that these dating apps aren't the end all be all. Like sometimes it doesn't seem like it's working out on there, but you just have that in-person meeting and it's a lot different. So that's what the Book Eater staff and their owner, Chad Ellis, and then his wife, Lindsay, is the one who organizes all these events. So they're the sweetest humans. They're so genuine and nice and just want these connections and want people coming to this bookstore and making friendships and perhaps even finding love. And even people who necessarily haven't made connections, there's been people who have keep coming back to these events, have become friends with the staff. So it's just a great way to meet people. And I think especially in the winter when it's cold and we want those connections, it's good to go to. So Book Eater is doing a bunch of different themes with these. So their next one's actually Monday, December 16th, 6 to 8, and the theme is queer. And they're teaming up with another bookstore, Unreliable Narrator, too. So that'll be a fun event, I'm sure.
Yeah, and I think, like, there's so many aspects of that, like just community being a big one, and that can take different forms. That can be, yeah, people looking for romantic love, just friendship, sort of just hanging out with people, talking about books, talking about anything, you know, shared interests. A big way I think that people often talk about sort of the opening lines on dating apps, right? It's very difficult. You can overthink it, all that stuff. In person, there's that still, that initial obstacle, or if you want to call it obstacle, whatever, is still there. You sort of took an approach in your clothing choice that maybe you had a conversation starter that was tasteful, I would say. It wasn't like a very loud, like, look at me, but it was tasteful.
Yeah.
So can you walk me through that process? Because I thought this was a very good idea.
Yeah. So one of my favorite shirts, I have a shirt with a cat and it's in pink and it's shooting lightning out of its eyes. So I'm like, I'm going to wear this. But like I said, I went to multiple of these events. So I wore it. It's one of my favorite shirts. So I wore it to the first event. And then I wore it again to a later one because it was months apart. There's different people. So I'm like, I'm going to do that again. We're going with the top shirt. You got to go with the number one for these events. But there were some of the same people at these events too. So I was just thinking, like, are people going to think he's like a cartoon character, like a Homer Simpson, just a closet full of the same shirts? Or is he in a cult with like worshiping this cat? Which I don't know. It's kind of a green flag is what
I was going to say. No matter what, they are noticing it. And in a certain way, it's like, oh, it's just a conversation piece. Like, hey, didn't you wear? And again, this is probably like we think of this more than maybe other people do. But in our heads, it's like, are they going to know? Are they going to remember that I was the dude that wore the cat shirt last time? And it might just be like, and if they do, it might be like, hey, are you the guy that wore the cat shirt last time? Like, yeah, I love this shirt.
Or hey, you do laundry. Like, that's awesome.
There you go.
Love laundry.
Or you don't do laundry.
Or you don't.
For the record, did wash the shirt.
Yes.
But actually, cats were a great conversation starter because a lot of people there, like, had similar tastes, obviously liking books.
Sure.
And cats as well. So it turned out I got to see pictures of so many people's other cats.
You're telling me that the folks who showed up to the speed dating at the indie bookstore were into cats too?
Cats and books. And so Book Eater has, and this gets me every time, they have a cat pillow. And every time I see it, I glimpse at it, I'm like, that's a real cat.
It's real.
But yeah. It's not, it's a pillow. Mm. And so I wanted to name it. I named it Paige.
Oh,
nice.
Right?
Nice.
Oh, yeah. You guys get it. Thank you for getting that. Yeah,
the shared moment of realization.
Yeah.
We all levitated.
So please go to Book Eater, say hi to Paige, buy a book, buy a coffee.
And that's a good way to just get people in a store that maybe they have not been into before and just to meet people and all that stuff. And I feel like that's a big part of the whimsy. That's a big part of connection. You know, going to cut down your own Christmas tree also can be, well, if it was me, because I've never done that, because I would fail or I would... Anyway, I tend to back away from struggle. It's one of my biggest flaws.
Patrick, I need to point out that you over the course of your tenure here, and I feel like I'm having these big tenure glances at everyone, like your tenure, my tenure, and Patrick's. But
end of the year reflection.
It's true. I'm wrapping it up for something big. Just kidding. But I've noticed that you'll say to a room of like writers and journalists and editors, like, I've never done this common thing. And then it'll be like, all right, well, now you have to write a story about it, learn how to do it publicly, potentially fail, and Berto's going to point a camera at you.
Yeah.
So add that to the list of like Patrick firsts that we're going to get on film.
And there is a big one coming up that I won't spoil here because we'll probably use that for episode, but stay tuned. We'll probably use that on many, many platforms.
It's exciting
so definitely
stuff.
Stay tuned. Yeah, but you know, and so Scott's experience doing that again, just one of the many different stories here in this issue. City editor Leah Stacey goes long on steakhouses. She traces the history all the way back to what may very well be the nation's very first one in New York City, kind of through that lineage here in Rochester. There's a great story about enrichment activities for dogs. So you talk about dogs, you talk about, you know, do I really need to take my dog out in 32 degrees or below? And it's like, well, yes, but also you should probably do more than that. And here's a list of suggestions about how to let your dog like live a happy, healthy life, all that stuff. There's so many of these great stories. We're going to welcome another contributor here in just a moment to our conversation. Before we do that, maybe we'll take a quick break here. We're talking about City Magazine's December 2024 Winter Guide. When we come back, we'll talk about one more of those stories. I'm Patrick Hoskin, filling in for Evan Dawson. Coming up in our next hour, grief is nonlinear, and for some, it can be a lifelong experience. One way we can explore its impact on our lives is through art, and that's what a new exhibition at the Rochester Contemporary Art Center aims to do. But how do we get started? Well, we talk to the people who know, next hour on Connections. Welcome back to Connections here on WXXI. I'm Patrick Hoskin and for Evan Dawson. We are here with some folks from the City Magazine team. We're talking about the Winter Guide issue, December 2024. We got City Art Director Jake Walsh. We have Multimedia Reporter Roberto Lagares. We have Contributor Scott Pukos. And now we're just joined by also Contributor, and I'll give your full title because you just joined and everyone got to do their full titles before.
Thank you.
So here we go. Ready? I want to welcome Raquel Steven, Health, Equity, and Community Reporter and Producer for WXXI and Contributor to City Magazine.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming by.
Snap your finger.
So we've been talking about Berto went to a Christmas tree farm, documented that for the issue. Scott went to a couple speed dating events, talking about ways of moving around in the winter, trying to not just stay inside if we can, try to get out there.
Yes.
You have a story in this issue called, it's called All-Star Lineup. Tell us about that. Where did you go?
So for this story, I actually went to, it's a nightclub. It's called 70 West, and it's located on Central Avenue. And a group of Black women, mostly in their 50s, but they look really well. So you wouldn't believe me. But I guess this is why. So they meet probably twice a week, and they do this line dancing class. And it's like traditional line dancing, right? Where you do, you know, the hokey pokey and turn yourself around, right? And but they put their spunk to it, their swag to it. And instead of using what I would say, like, you know, Western music, it's more like hip hop or Caribbean music. It's non-traditional in that sense, where you're dancing to things you listen to on the radio, but you're line dancing to it. So I truly enjoyed it. It was a group of 40 women. They're in their cowboy boots, so they keep that traditional aspect of it. Mm-hmm. But these cowboy boots are like sequenced out, okay? They're decked out, some with fringe, some with sequins, some with, you know, embroidery. Just to, everyone gives their own little personal flavor to this traditional line dancing aspect, but they have a ball. Mm-hmm. I would say this, they have a ball. Like I was trying my hardest not to hop in.
That's what was going to be a question. I'm like, did you hop in there?
I tried not to hop in. It was hard. I think my photographer, Narada, was like, oh my gosh, I want to join in so bad, because the energy in there is amazing. The sisterhood is amazing. And they're having a great time. They're having a great time. And to me, it's just this subculture that we really don't speak about. And they're doing it. They're bringing it to the forefront. So I wanted to cover that.
So yeah, so the name of the group, is it the PNK Steppas?
Yes, the PNK Steppas, led by Pinky.
Led by Pinky. So we have Pinky. I believe we have Shandon Pinky Johnson joining us. She's the leader of the PNK Steppas line dancing group. Pinky, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So Raquel was just talking about kind of coming to some of the events and wanting to jump in and kind of just really join all the fun. Can you tell us a little bit about your group and kind of how it came about?
So my group was established from a birthday party that we had for my pastor wife 3 or 4 years ago. We were at the birthday party, and of course, every line dance that came on, I knew it. So at the birthday party, I was basically teaching line dance at the birthday party. So then the first lady and a couple others were like, you should do a class at the church, because I was already doing my fitness class at the church, because I'm a fitness instructor as well. So I was already doing my class at the church. I was like, okay. I was like, how often do y'all want to do this? And it was like, oh, we could do it on Tuesdays. I said, let's start with every other Tuesday and see how that works. Well, that didn't last but a week. It ended up being every week since December the 21st of 21. And I have over about 40 ladies that participate in this.
Now, I that's such a great story. There's obviously, okay, we'll start small, but then obviously we're going to kick the class up. We're going to do it really regularly. Can you talk a little bit about line dancing? I think when people think of line dancing, Raquel, what you mentioned in the story, one of the more famous ones is the electric slide.
Macarena.
Things like that. So that's all part of your class, Pinky, but also, again, it's a little bit more different influence, Caribbean influence, hip hop music, all sorts of different stuff like that.
All different type of genres. We do Afro beats, we do gospel, we do cowboy music, we do country, we do R&B, we do hip hop, we do it all. So we'll take a line dance, and it may be something soul and sultry. Like, for instance, it's a line dance called Israelite Party. It has a nice beat to it, but then I collaborated and put bongos by Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion with it. Just an upbeat to bring it up to air, up to date, so that everybody can participate and be involved, and they don't think it's just one of adults that can participate in this line dancing. Is for everybody.
So that was going to be, that's such a great aspect of this. So, you know, obviously, Raquel's mentioned there's a lot of women in their 50s, but there's some younger folks that come by as well, too. It's a really inclusive atmosphere. You get a lot of people of different ages.
Yes, I do. I don't discriminate. Everybody's welcome. So I have youth that participate from the age five and up. I have a young lady that every summer when she comes to visit her grandmother, she has to participate. So we grow up into a nice teenager. She actually went back home to Atlanta and started teaching a line dance class to the youth at her fitness class.
Oh, that's great. That's so cool. And that's like what I like. What do you want? Are there things about line dancing that you think people don't know? Like for mm-hmm. Raquel, for your example, like how much did you know about line dancing before you kind of went into and spent some time with the PNK Steppas?
I didn't know, like, you know, we do it, you know, at parties and whatnot, but I didn't know that it can create such a sisterhood, such a family atmosphere. And having them do it to all genres and not get tired, not get bored, because you can kind of get bored, like, oh, okay, I'm doing the same step. But this is like, it looks like different moves every time. Like, they're having such a great time and they're chanting, they're come on, they're encouraging each other. And it's just, it's like, wow, this is something different. This is a bond, and this is a family here. And we, you know, you do line dancing at family gatherings, right? Mm-hmm. That's how you kind of close it off.
Right.
But this is kind of like a opening and a closing, right? Like, you come in and you create a sisterhood. For a lot of people, they need that bond, right? And they need that encouragement from their sisters. They probably look forward to this. Like, I'm having a rough week and I cannot wait to get to my line dancing class with PNK Steppas because I need to let this out. So it's more than just dancing. It's like having your people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, your
mm-hmm.
people.
Pinky, and also I realize I didn't actually, is it okay if I call you Pinky?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
I'm so used to Pinky. When people could say my government name, I don't answer.
All right. I just didn't want to. I wanted to make sure that was well within my rights here. Yeah. I mean, there's something so like. Have you heard some of those stories? Raquel mentioned sisterhood, and a lot of that is kind of at the center of the story that you ended up writing. The conversations that happen, the conversations that you have with people, the relationships that you've developed, and the relationships that you kind of see other people develop in your class. Can you talk a little about that too? Because I would imagine maybe someone comes because they're in for the first time because they're interested in a social aspect or maybe in the dancing, but I feel like a big part of what Raquel was saying is people stick around for that social experience. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so the social experience is dynamic because it's women from all types of diverse, all types of different cultures, all types of different ranges of life. Some people come just for the atmosphere, for the dancing. Some people come because they need that sisterhood. We laugh together. We cry together. We pray together. We do it together. So we can call each other. I have a group where we can all message each other when we have to. We're, you know, everybody's open for discussion. We don't have, when I say it, and I say it not to say it, but we don't have any drama. We haven't had any issues. And if they were, I rectify them right away because we're all adults. And I don't want that in my environment. Our environment is so open and so friendly. That's why I have so many people participating. So they know when they come there, they're going to get exactly what they want, that sisterhood. I can talk to this person. I can talk to that person. This is my prayer warrior over here. This is my sister that knows is going to give it to me, right? My mother, who is 75, she's going to tell you the truth from every aspect of every corner of the realm. So she's the mother of the group. You have that, and a lot of the ladies don't have their mother anymore, so I extend my mom out to them. So that's when I say sisterhood, like Rocky says, it's a family. We're a family. So, and that's what everybody looks forward to. If I cancel class, yeah, they're not happy.
Well, if people want to learn more about PNK Steppas, where should they go to check out that info?
They can email me at pnkfitness421@gmail.com. I'm on the public on social media aspects. PNK Fitness 4.21. I'm on TikTok at Coach Pinky _ PNK Fitness 421. Instagram, PNK _ Fitness _ 421. So it's easy. PNK on PNK Fitness 4.21. So it's the initial PNK, which is the acronym of Pinky. I took out the I and the Y. So that's what PNK stands for.
That makes so much sense. Yeah.
Yes.
Shandon.
And the 421, I didn't want to be that 20. I wanted to be a tsunami, so I did 421, which is my birthday, April 21st.
Oh, well, there we go. Look at that. That's perfect. I love that.
Love it.
Shandon Pinky Johnson and PNK Steppas, thank you so much for joining us here.
Yep. for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. And Raquel, thanks for being here to chat about that too.
Yes, of course. And I don't want to get it, you know, I want to make it very clear that they're serious about this stuff too. So if you don't have the moves, okay, if a song comes on and you haven't fully grasped the choreography, Pinky will tell you, get out the line.
Yeah. Well, that's another thing about family too. Line. Is if you're out of the line, you know, they'll tell you.
Right. And that's just, we do that plan, but and the classes are free. That's the one great thing about it. I don't charge for any of my classes. All my classes are free. I do them every Tuesday at 5:30 at Enon at 175 Genesee Street, and every other Wednesday at 70 West at 420 Central Ave. And we also use Sky Lounge as well, which is at 425 Mount Reed Boulevard. So we have alternatives. If they can't make a Tuesday, they can make a Wednesday. And then I go live on days that I'm not even doing class just because, and just do tutorials of teaching certain line dance to give people that little more time to get them.
Yeah, yeah, that makes so much sense. If you are, it's serious, we're happy to join, but you got to know the steps.
Yeah, you have to know the steps. Get to the back. I could just, her voice is just vivid in my memory. Like, get out the line. Get out the line. You can pick up the steps on the side.
Right. We do have the tutorials in class as well. But they know when I start hollering, when we got an event, because we do events, we do weddings, we do all types of events, concerts. So, we want to look clean and precise and in sync.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Well, Shandon, Pinky Johnson, thank you so much again for joining us here. It was great to have you.
All right. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. Thank you, Rocky.
Yes, no problem. Thank you.
And there's, you know, and that's just another great example. We were talking about community, right? We were talking about going to Book Eater. We're talking about going to Christmas tree farms. And we're talking about me struggling to cut down Christmas trees because I've never done it. All these things can be ways that we get through the winter and the winter guide. Another way, right, and something that's become a bit of a tradition in the city, December issues, we talk about a beverage advent calendar of sorts.
Oh, I was wondering, because you looked at me, and I thought, what is Patrick going to start talking about?
Well, also, you're the fountain of institutional knowledge, right?
True.
So that's awesome.
How have I found myself in this position that I am the guy with all the institutional knowledge? If you looked at me, you wouldn't think, oh, there's a man with a ton of institutional knowledge.
You can judge that for yourself when you see a photo of Jake later if you don't know what Jake looks like. But, you know, there's such a... the sort of history with this, and this is largely put together by city contributor Gino Finelli, also WXXI reporter, where he essentially puts together a different, it started off as putting together a different beer every day, like sort of a beer advent calendar. Now, this has sort of evolved into, what are the 24
bottles of more than beer.
More than beer.
On the wall.
Yes, on the wall.
Yeah.
So we're talking about, you know, obviously, there, and Gino obviously it does a really good job of sort of tracing the evolution of the craft beer, the state of the craft beer. I just had a great piece in City recently about the state of the industry in terms of craft beer in our region. As that sort of evolves and as people's personal sort of habits evolve, we're talking about maybe people are, you know, consuming a little bit less. Maybe people are venturing out into trying different things, NA options. There's a really good inclusion of not just beer in this month's in this year's edition of that. We have a kombucha. We have two different kombuchas. The Laxmi kombucha from our neighbors here at Happy Gut Sanctuary is on there, as well as a Cran Snap kombucha from Catbucha. The Kind Hopped Water from Three Heads Brewing, which basically is just a tall boy of water that is flavored with hops, which is a pretty interesting drinking experience. There's a THC seltzer in there, and there's a bottled cold brew coffee from Fuego Coffee Roasters. Tell me a little bit about the process of, like, this is where I get so, it's kind of a process question, but like for Birdo, for Jake, we're talking about, here's this idea. Seems fun, right? To pick out a bunch of different beverages. How do we show that? How do we display that? And there's a couple of different ways, right? Let's talk about maybe on the page first, then maybe we can talk about different ways for it to live. But so Jake, how do you do that?
Yeah. So this year, I'll give a little bit of background, I guess, for this venture. This was an idea born 5 years ago under our previous editor, Dave Andriotta, and Gino. And I was doing much more photography back then, 5 years ago. And it was just this idea of, like, advent calendars are exciting, I feel. I think it's a fun thing to have a little, like, just a little bit of something each day. That's a thing that can sustain you like through the winter. I have an advent calendar like every year, my fiance and I, and it's just a fun way to like eat a little bit of chocolate every day or something like that. Something to sort of be like, okay, here is the tie that binds us through December. And, you know, Gino and I, basically it was the first year, it was kind of just like, well, we're going to get a bunch of beer and we are going to buy it with the company card because it is for the magazine. And we're going to go upstairs and we're going to every Friday. It turned into every Friday. We would like drink a bunch of beer, take pictures of all the beers, and, you know, end up with a beer advent calendar where like you could, if you want to, follow it, you know, every day, like drink this beer every day.
With diligent tasting notes and all that, of course.
All of that stuff. And if you read Gino's tasting notes, first of all, we've been doing this for 5 years and it's like, we got to figure out a way to keep it fresh a little bit. Gino gets into some pretty crazy stuff when he's writing about these
this
these
year
beverages.
In particular, yeah.
This year in particular, a little unhinged. And I think that's intentional. I mean, Gino and I have been kind of tag teaming this for, like I said, 5 years. And, you know, like you were saying earlier, like people change, tastes at large change. Personally, like Gino and I don't drink anymore. Whereas like when we started this, we both drank a lot. And like it was a fun way to be like, feel like you're kind of getting away with something. You know, it's like, oh, we're at work. We're in our 20s. We're doing this alternative, fun little beer thing. And now, you know, and now we've grown up. Speaking of institutional knowledge, I you should see the monocle I have tucked in my eye right now. But like the Monopoly man. But yeah, I mean, you'll see like if you open to page 64 of this month's City Magazine, you'll see 24 bottles of a bunch of different stuff. So it became less of a thing where it's like we're going to make something for beer enjoyers who want to drink a bunch of beer. And it has now become more of this thing of like, what's 24 things that a bunch of people could enjoy that isn't just like, hey, it's cold, it's dark, it's the holidays, and that's difficult. Let's get drunk. Like, I think that is less on the table now than it has been in the past, which I think is a positive change.
Yeah, for sure.
And yeah, there's a bunch of great stuff. I mean, if you want to like get jacked up and stoned, you can drink two of these at once and you'll have a crazy Christmas. You might have eight crazy nights if you have like the Fuego cold brew and the O2 chill from other half, you know.
Yeah,
like
that's a combination, know,
not
for sure.
Not suggesting anything, but
no, we're just talking about possibilities.
Exactly. Here, it's all here on the page, folks. It's all in the advent calendar, and we don't really know what the future of this is. We've kind of every year looked forward to being like, oh, you know what, Gino and I are gonna drink some beer, listen to ska music on the fifth floor on a Friday, and just sort of complain about stuff, because it really is, you know, we'll get together and Gino and I earlier on would like split a beer, take a picture of the can against a seamless background, split another beer, and then it would just kind of go on. And we would invite, like, I remember we invited Scott to like come help
that
us.
That was great.
at a certain point, we had to like ring a bell and be like, all right, everybody, there's like, it's 3 p.m. on a Friday and there's too much beer up here. Like, please come. And obviously that was like not a difficult thing to get people to like help us out with.
Sure.
So.
But that is such an interesting thing. Yeah, we're talking about taste change and sort of the people behind these things changing, and then allowing that space for something to change. And speaking of change, like in terms of the way that this will live, we're talking about it on the page. We're also talking about, you know, Birdo getting you into the fold here. There's, you know, it's 2025 almost. We're talking about video. If we're talking about any action, we're talking about video, right?
Absolutely. And that's like the goal. That's one of my goals as I've been here, is to just expand these pieces that live on the page and bring them into the digital age as well. But in a different way, like I don't want to regurgitate, you know? So
right.
how do you express these topics visually? It's interesting, and it also, you know, piques that interest into, oh, I need to pick up a copy, or I need to, you know, see it online, whatever your method is. But yeah, for this one specifically, I went with Gino. All of these that you see on the page, I was with him while we shopped for it. And so that video should be releasing very soon, possibly even today.
Ooh, yeah, love that.
Yeah, so you're really getting like up to the minute of upload, right? So, but yeah, it was really interesting. I won't spoil too much about the video. I think it's entertaining. And I think if this is something that you're like, I don't know if it's really for me, maybe this might change your mind a little bit. even if it's just to see the rest of the story, right?
Right.
So I try not to, again, not regurgitate this information. I want to express it and compliment it.
So we've been talking a lot about winter and December and all this stuff. I want to just take, we're getting near the end, so I want to take, make sure we devote some time to talking about 2025. January 2025 is, as usual, it will be Citi's annual Best of edition. To coincide with that, we are throwing a nice Best of Rochester Awards party. It's January 3rd. It's happening at Radio Social at 6 p.m. There will be a DJ. There will be a photo booth, snacks, a themed cocktail. You will learn who the winners are of the annual Reader's Poll Best of Rochester. And you already know what I'm going to do right now, Jake, right? We're talking about institutional knowledge.
Let's get it.
When people send us messages a lot, they know of Best of. They have questions. What are some general questions that people that you've heard that maybe it's like, here's what it is, here's what it isn't. It, you know, the way that you kind of have that in your brain. How does that go?
Totally. Best of Rochester is a reader's poll, which means that it is very much a popularity contest. I think that in cities this size, you kind of get out what you put in. If you promote yourself, you will find maybe your name on the ballot. That is, I did that 1 year with my band before I worked here. I asked a bunch of my friends on social media, hey, like, vote for my band for best band. And I ended up on the ballot somehow. And that is, I think, one of the very cool things about Best of Rochester that maybe a lot of people don't know. Your return on investment for campaigning for yourself or your friends or someone in your community that you care about, it comes back to you in that, like, you'll probably end up on this ballot, or you will probably end up at least, you know, being discussed or shown to somebody new. I don't remember off the top of my head how many categories there are, but the way the guts of Best of, truly how it works, for complete transparency, there's a nomination phase where folks will just write in all of their favorite stuff. We will ask you open-ended questions about, like, what's the best slice of pizza in Rochester? Or, like, what's the best yoga studio? And we'll get thousands of submissions. Our staff goes through and finds the top four, and then you vote on the top four. And I will be, I've emceed this event in the past. I will be emceeing it on the 3rd of January.
Hey.
And I will probably find out who the winners are an hour before everybody else does. Because that's the other thing, is that I think a lot of folks have the inkling that there is some sort of, there's like a rigged element to it. You don't know me, but hi, I'm Jake. I'm the art director at City Magazine, and also many of us, one of the several hands that it falls to produce this event and this readers poll. It really is, you know, one of the notes that we get is like, it's a popularity contest, and that's all it is. And it's like, yes, that is very true. It is absolutely true. If you engage your community and they show up for you, you will show up in Best of,
and
most likely.
People tend to think that about any sort of situation like this, right? Like,
yeah.
Oh, is it written? It's not a unique thing to City. It's just
correct.
Any kind of thing that's set up this way, people may think that. But there's an exciting element where we're talking about the event happening. We're all kind of finding out what's happening at the same time.
Electrifying.
That's also where we will launch our Best of issue as well. We'll be at that event.
So very
true. That's also kind of exciting.
And that's
too.
How that information breaks as well. And it's exciting for us. I mean, I have a great time like putting together the brand for this book every year. We've done, I think this is the third year in a row where the whole book is Best of. So it is like the winners. So you can go through and try to find yourself or your friends. And then that we also have these little like editorial picks and blurbs of things that are I'm trying to think. A cohort is not the right word.
Yeah, but we can use it. Cohort.
Yeah, our cohort of writers, returning freelancers,
like,
and all that,
word.
Stuff. The cohort.
Yeah.
But I never went to grad school, but I know that that's a word in grad school. Come on.
You gestured at me very aggressively when you
Did
said
I?
Grad school.
I never went to grad school. Hold on, let me grad school. We engage that cohort of writers to, like, you know, write blurbs throughout the book. There's a lot of value. There's a lot of discovery, potential for discovery in the pages of Best of. I think it's very well served to be throughout the whole book. And also, from what I have seen, and again, I don't pay super duper close attention to this while it is happening because I simply have other job responsibilities. But like there's some new faces in here this year that's very exciting. There's a lot of stuff worth paying attention to. Even if you're not interested in the outcomes or like how the sausage is made, you can find something for you in Best Of. Because we really do, like, we kind of tweak the categories every year to provide some utility to our readers, because that's very, very important to us.
But something as simple as, okay, best pizza, right? And it's like, oh, maybe I'll go to who won. Maybe I'll check out that slice if I don't know already. But yeah, also, maybe I'll see who else was like a finalist, and maybe some of those are new. Like, it's just a way of being like, it's not just that, oh, this is superior and, you know, that's the only one I'm going to check out of these. It's about, here's some stuff I hadn't known about, and let's check that out.
I'm forgetting where I read this, and it must be, it's just one of those things that this is what the internet has done to my brain. I read so many things, I forget how to accredit them like after the fact. But it was someone who was writing about the stuff that you want to pay attention to. A, pay attention to the best stuff. But if you find like someone whose taste you trust, or a community that you are involved in, like the city of Rochester, whatever scene you find yourself in, pay attention to, like, in a top 10 list, pay attention to number 10 and number 9 and number 8, mm-hmm, like, you know, mm-hmm, because that is like where they were close.
Yeah,
top four,
right,
is not bad.
That's like, exactly right.
Top,
yeah,
four is, there's a lot to be, so I don't know, and there's much to be gleaned from just checking out like what your community thinks is the best. And it, and I just want to reiterate again, it's a popularity contest and it's fun.
Yeah, and the voting is open now until midnight tonight.
That's,
you can
true,
check it out on City. There's the best, all the Best Of Rochester stuff there. Once again, January 2025, our next issue, just to tease that a little bit, will be Best of Rochester, as well as the event happening January 3rd. And of course, now, as we've been talking about, City December 2024 issue on stands now. I'd like to thank my guests. Thank you so much all for being here. City Art Director Jake Walsh, as well as Fountain of Institutional Knowledge.
I have heard that. Yep.
City Multimedia Reporter Roberto Ligares, thank you.
Absolutely, thank you.
And Scott Bugo, City Contributor, as well as Director of Comms for the Little Theater. Thank you for being here. I want to thank Raquel, Steven, and Shannon Pinky Johnson as well for being here. And thank you so much for supporting member-supported public radio. I'm Patrick Hoskin. Another Hour of Connections is coming up.